Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Alexi Podcast. Normally, I record in a studio. This is a home edition. All right, I'm a little injured. All right, I rock climb. It's a pastime. It's a hobby. It's a physical challenge that I love. Been doing it for a little less than a year now, and it was only a matter of time for me to have an injury from it. I have a pretty bad ankle right now. I'm very much an underreactor. I've learned that. I don't know what sort of coping mechanism that is, but I was handling it quietly. No one online knows that I have a pretty severely sprained ankle. I hate getting attention for injuries or for physical pain. Like, don't know this about me. Like, leave me alone. But I was climbing an arch. So you go up, you climb over, and you climb down. And when you're up at the top, you're climbing monkey bar style. And I had to get to the other side, so I swung my body so hard with my brute force. And I flung my body against a wall, smacked it, and then fell on my side. So it wasn't like I landed and broke my ankle. I just smacked my leg, my arm, my side against a wall so hard. And then just toppled over. I've sent a couple photos to my loved ones just to keep them updated, and they're always more triggered by it than I am. They're like, oh, I didn't realize it was that bad. Like, that's disgusting. So I've been home, and it's my driving foot, so there is no way that I could do an hour drive. Certainly not. That being said, I'm going on a brand trip this weekend to Martha's Vineyard. I leave tomorrow. By the time you're listening to it, I'll either be on the plane or be there. And I'm so excited. I've never been to Martha's Vineyard before. I could see my husband being there. There's a little waspy bone in my body that we'll call it a muscle. I have a waspy muscle in my body that I don't exercise very often, but I love myself. A little East Coast man. I think it's because we have some preppy members in my family. Like, I have some Massachusetts Cape Cod family. My grandma was from Connecticut. There's a little bit of a familiarity there for me that I love. And I've been wanting to go. One of my best friends goes with her family every year. They spend a month of the summer there, and I was going to visit this year until we got to go with a brand. Very excited. I'm gonna take some beautiful images, so make sure to keep track of me online. Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing. Because it sounds like a ridiculous request, but I am like, they're gonna be pretty. I'm gonna be somewhere pretty wearing cute clothes. Go tell me I look cute and look pretty. I've been taking extreme measures. It's been 7 days since my injury, so I have been trying my best to put myself on house arrest and not leave. I've taken a couple short drives. The longest one was 17 minutes. I don't think that's too bad. But the goal was, do not make it any worse before you have to get on an airplane. I'm so afraid that my foot's gonna blow up like a balloon. But I've taken every measure that I can, resting, elevating it, compressing it. I have an ankle brace on it. She laces up like a little corset, like she's waist training right now. What a cutie. Olive green, kind of fun. I find quote unquote toxic positivity to be really funny. So when my friend's texting me, how's the foot? Like, it's kind of fun. You wake up different color every day. It's a surprise. I love surprises. She's looking okay now. I can't believe I've already wasted a couple minutes of your time talking about this injury. I would argue that discussing an injury to someone is about as interesting as discussing one of your dreams to somebody. You know, there's a select few that'll care, but I would say the masses aren't interested because they weren't there. It doesn't mean much to them. Same thing showing your pet to someone that's never met them. Unless they're show-stoppingly gorgeous or funny, most people aren't going to see what you see. And I've already found this with, except for I'm biased, but I don't know if I'm biased. I really think my friend's baby is the cutest baby in the entire world. I stand by that. She looks like a little American Girl doll. She looks like, what were they called? Baby Born? Bitty Baby. Oh, did anyone have a Bitty Baby? She looks like a Bitty Baby. I loved dolls as a kid. I cannot believe that I spent hours, days, weeks of my life playing with dolls. I don't know what I was doing. Imagination is crazy. I need to exercise mine more. What were we doing? Did you play dolls? I'm sure you guys did. I had a whole closet that I would sit in for afternoon after afternoon after afternoon, just entertaining myself. Maybe it's because I was an only child. I don't know. But I think back to my time with dolls, and it amazes me that I was able to entertain myself for as long as I did. If I had that level of imagination, which, okay, I hear you, I could tap into that. I haven't been able to. This week would have been the perfect time to do so because all I had was time in my own head and time in my own house. Which, you know, working from home is all nice and fun and everything until you're spending your free time and your work time and your sleep all at home. You're like, I'm bored. I envy my old childlike imagination. I still think that I'm more tapped into my imagination than maybe the average person my age. Maybe not anymore. I could have definitely said this more confidently about 5 years ago. At this current moment of time, I'm not positive on that. I'll be honest. I don't think I'm doing much to expand my imagination or to exercise that muscle. But this week would have been a great time to do it. I had nothing but time in the house. And if you're in the same space for a period of time, the best way to entertain yourself, imagination. Because I definitely hit the point where you can only scroll for so long before everything just starts to bore you. You can only watch so many things on TV before you start to get frustrated. I did get some reading done, just not as much as I would have liked. I hit a dry spot in my book, so I wasn't motivated to read. But then I got past the dry spot, and now I'm back in. And I wish I just pushed myself a little bit more. I'm proud of myself, though, for resting. That's something very hard to do for me. I hate sitting still, and I hate being home. I like being home, you know, a little, but I wouldn't call myself a homebody. I go stir crazy if I spend the entire day. If I were to wake up, not leave the house, and go to sleep in the house, I would be stir crazy by the end of that day. I need to at least go out places and leave my house for me to be excited to go back there. But I did get a good bit of journaling done, which was nice. If you can hear me flipping my pages, I always love a chapter of my life where I'm more comfortable in my journal. There's definitely a week or two or even a month that will pass by where I realize that I haven't put much in there besides my to-do list or planning things out for the next day. But when I have a mix of drawings, doodles, diary entries, to-do lists, summer bucket list, what else do we have? I have an analysis of my social media. I'm testing out new management right now, so that was what that was for. But when I have a good mix, that's when I feel really in a good space mentally. So I am proud of myself for that. And thank goodness for FaceTimes. I'm being so dramatic. What's a girl to do? For example, the Charlie XCX show is happening. This happened last Saturday in Los Angeles. I wanted to be there so badly. Everybody and their mother was there. But even if they weren't, I still would have wanted to be there. What did I do instead? I boiled some hot water. I put it in a bowl. I gave myself a foot bath, listened to Ethel Cain under candlelight, then I journaled. And I'm like, am I the drama? Or is this just a fun way to mind my own business? I've really been thinking about it, about what I enjoy and what my purpose for myself is. And I truly just want to make living one of my favorite experiences. I want to enjoy living. I want this life to be fun and to be interesting, because I understand hardship, stress, and that I think is a unavoidable chapter or an unavoidable aspect of this life. But if you can get your head screwed on to be in the lens of fun and enjoyment and excitement, the ability to be enthused is a lost art. People that can go through their entire life maintaining the ability to be enthusiastic about life should be studied. And as I was saying, yes, there's going to be times in life that are painful, but I would rather that, arguably, and you could definitely argue this point, you don't need to agree on it, I think that that is more necessary and part of the experience than something being boring, your life having a really mundane chapter. not to be confused with peace. I think that's sometimes confused with peace. I do not think that we have any control over these really painful chapters that are inevitable for all of us. But when you're in a stable point of your life, it's up to you whether it's boring or fun. It's up to you whether it's mundane or exciting. And I just want to find ways to make those mundane moments more enjoyable. For example, last year, I dressed up for my taxes. I did the same thing this year. I'm self-employed. I do my own taxes. I've done it since I was 16. Can you believe that? I've done my own taxes for 12 years. And I never like it. It's never fun. It's one of my least favorite days of the whole year. So then last year, I said, let's put on a cunty little playlist. Let's put on a fun outfit. And let's do this. And I did the same thing this year. I put on a bitchy little outfit. I had my office siren reading glasses on. I had a little tube top and a skirt. And I was playing some playlist that was, I don't even remember, like 18th century soundtrack and of what it feels like to win the game. You know, same thing, my car battery died. Thankfully, it was in my back parking lot, so I was at home. But while I was waiting for AAA to come, it was a gorgeous sunny day. The UV was high. Obviously, I parked out, bad choice of words. So I grabbed my park blanket and I put it down right beside my car and I tanned until the AAA people came. So when it comes to having a sprained ankle and needing to stay home when there's an exciting event on a weekend that I would much rather be at, instead of throwing myself a pity party, let's use the circumstance to tap into something that I would also enjoy. Some dramatic music, candlelight, a warm bath. Wanted a bath, but couldn't do it. We can do a foot bath though, that's fine. Felt good for my ankle anyway. And some time in my journal reflecting. I went on Pinterest, I made a mood board in relation to the last book that I was reading. That was fun too. I just truly believe that there is always a way to make your time more interesting. For example, Brat, back to Charlie XCX, her new album. It's a Brat Girl Summer for me. You know what Brat sounds great in? When you're getting your car washed. Play Guess, play Spring Breakers. It feels like you're in a rave. You're inside your car. It's blasting through the speakers. Your car is covered with soap. It's incredible. Dress up for the grocery store. I think this is really in line with how to romanticize your life. I guess I just haven't been using that terminology. But absolutely, I think that there's always a way to make your life a little bit more romantic. The only other thing I wanted to talk about before getting into the Q&A was some new beauty treatments that I've tried. I'm all about a beauty regime. I'm an OG beauty guru, of course. I started my YouTube channel making hair routine videos, makeup routine videos. So it's in my blood. I would argue that beauty in this capacity is one of my hobbies. Yes, of course, we all have our regime to maintain the look that we want. But after a certain point, it's just because I enjoy the experience. Me giving myself scalp massages throughout the day is just because it feels good. Me doing these different hair treatments, I want my hair to grow, but I also like the ritual. And PRP has been something that I have been interested in for a while. So I got PRP injections all over my face, and I got microneedling on my face, on my neck, on my chest, and I also got PRP injections in my back and in my feet to help with my ankle pain. To explain what it is, it's gonna sound crazy unless you know of this, but you get your blood drawn, and then they spin it. So they take the vial of your blood, and then they spin it in a machine so that it separates the plasma out. So this plasma is platelet-rich plasma, and that in it has these growth factors. So it can be injected into an injury site to stimulate the healing process. But then in a beauty perspective, you can injure the skin, which is what microneedling is. It's putting tiny, tiny little needles in your skin, so causing teeny, teeny injuries, and then putting this plasma on top of those injuries to stimulate the healing process, i.e. to give you younger, healthier, newer skin. So I was there for the beauty section, and then the doctor was like, you know, this was originally for injury. If you're interested, I can inject your ankle, your other foot. He did it also in my back for my sciatic nerve, if I'm not mistaken. And I will say, it's been 7 days and my foot is healing quite fast. So knock on wood. Because I've never sprained my ankle before, I don't have anything to compare it to. So that was really interesting. I did microneedling for the first time in April, and I noticed my skin looking really great about a month after. So I figured, let's do it again. And let's do it again with my own plasma. Because injecting something that's from my body back into my body frightens me a lot less than putting something foreign in my body, which I've done before as well. Don't get it twisted. But this seemed like a great option that I'm really curious about. So I wanted to give that little insight. I will show more of that journey on Patreon. Also, I have to tell this story. I'm going to save it for Patreon just because I don't want to throw this person under the bus yet. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but my friend and I were conned out of thousands of dollars recently. For me, it was last year. She's still going through the process now, but we had this crooked dentist. And you have to be careful. This is a Los Angeles story. This took place in Beverly Hills at a bougie dentist overprescribing. I mean, the experience was disgusting. They should be so ashamed of themselves because they're such con artists. So I'll explain all that in the Patreon. That person needs to be reported, should have their license taken away. I don't want to go into all that right now. So let's get into the questions. I ask you guys for questions every single week on Instagram. My handle's Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, just like the name of this podcast. So let's get into them. But first, a word from today's sponsors.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First question is from LVLCB, LVL. Do you have an e-reader or want one? Justify your answer, please. I don't know if I should convert or not. I don't have one, and I never wanted one until recently. So one of my friends, who is also the same friend that really pushed me to do Patreon, which I love, has also been pushing me to get a Kindle. He's like, you don't understand. It's so light. You can bump up the size. Which, I'll be honest, there's definitely some classic books that I've shied away from because they are small with small font and incredibly small margins. It's not enjoyable to look at, therefore it's not enjoyable to read, and a Kindle would solve that problem. Also, the book that I'm reading right now is several hundred pages. It's huge. It doesn't just fit into a tiny little bag. A Kindle could. Another one of my concerns is that oftentimes when I'm reading, I'll read with a pen and I will underline and make marks on things that I'm interested in or really like the way that it sounds. I just like annotating. And there's a way to do that on the Kindle as well. And then you can have multiple books at a time. Like, you have your library. So if I'm in the middle of a nonfiction book and a fiction book and I'm interested in both, I'm not going to bring both everywhere. I'll probably make the decision. And with a Kindle, you don't need to make it. So I've definitely given it some thought. Even just to go ahead and get a refurbished one, I'm definitely considering. Before, I was paper or bust. You know, long live the physical book. But I'm considering going to the other side. Beautiful thing about life, you can always change your mind. I'm Sophie wants to know, when is it the best time to move in with your boyfriend? Well, I'll tell you when it's not. If you are moving in out of convenience, but you wouldn't want to otherwise. For example, you guys are long distance and you don't want to be long distance anymore. But if you weren't long distance, you would definitely not be in the position to move in together. You would not want that. But you're saying this because you'd rather them close as opposed to continuing the long distance relationship. I think it's much smarter to have them find their own apartment, whether it's by themselves, with roommates, a sublet, something, because that puts a lot of pressure on you, especially if you're not ready. I think if you both have lived separately and nearby each other and you still find yourself either always at his or he's always at yours and your lease is coming up or his is, to just consider it, I think that's totally fine. If you've been together for, you know, a year plus, I think that's really reasonable to consider moving in together, especially the older you are. Oh, interesting question about me. Thinking back to your early teens, YouTube days, would that Lexi be proud of this, Lexi? I wonder, when I've answered this question in the past, I would have said yes so easily. She would have been so excited for me, like, wow, you moved to California and then you moved to New York City and you went to school in the city. That's so cool. But at this moment, I'm not sure because I haven't made a major move in my career or in my physical life or in my romantic life in about 2 years. I honestly think since I moved back to Los Angeles, let's think, you know, because I could be being biased. I moved back to Los Angeles and the first year was all just fun. It was soaking up this new city or the same city that I've lived in before, but in a new way. Meeting new friends, getting to know new neighborhoods, new restaurants, just exploring and figuring out what my life is here. But now I'm on the second year. Actually, am I on the third? I moved here 2022, May of 2022. It's June of 2024. Okay, we just began the third year. It's time to consider what the next transition is. I'm very comfortable. I love my friends. I love my house. I'm not obsessed with my romantic life right now. Yeah, I think maybe teen Lexi probably thinks that 28 is a lot older than what it actually feels like to be 28 in this day and age. And I wonder if she'd be like, huh, you're still living with a friend? You're not like living with a partner? You don't have a house of your own? I'm confused. I'm like, oh, shoddy. It's not as easy as it looks. So I wonder if she would be disappointed in that, or maybe not disappointed, but would be confused. I don't know. I think about that sometimes because I don't feel behind, but I would have thought that maybe by this point I would have been farther along? Question mark? It's hard to say. I'm happy in my skin, which that feels great. Like, I really like myself, and that's not nothing. But in terms of on paper, I don't know what she would think. I think if she spent a day in my skin, she'd be like, oh, this is awesome. I love this. But if she was looking at my life, I don't know if she would agree. Does that make sense? Aw, Toshi Baker said, how to stop hating my body and feel beautiful. Body hate is way too pushed upon us. It is way too normal to hate your body. First of all, the bodies that you're seeing online or in movies, the really, really, really impressive ones, that is not healthy nor sustainable. And that was a weird lesson that I didn't expect to learn. I really thought that with the correct amount of diet and exercise or well-balanced, healthy living, like truly just healthy living, not disordered, choices would lead me to these bodies that I was seeing in media as a young kid, when in reality, those that have those bodies, A, had to do crazy things to get them, or B, they can't even maintain them themselves. So they got to have that body, but they don't have it right now, or they have to do a lot to get it back. And then finding all these different bodies, this sounds so alien to say out loud, but, you know, we all have these thoughts where you know, oh, her, it must be amazing to have her body. And then I find out it was too often. There were definitely some people that I loved their bodies, and I wanted to know what it would be like to have them. And then I got to know these people up close, and they all have eating disorders. And I was like, oh man, not again. I felt like I was being tricked, where over and over and over again, I would find out people that I idolized their looks would have a disordered eating problem. It just, after one too many times, I was like, ah, got it. So if I want to look how I want to look, it's probably not going to look like that. Or to do what I have to get that look, I actually don't know if that would be worth it for me. So that was one realization that I had to have. Then, of course, we have the anomalies, the exceptions to the rule that just have won the genetic lottery. They're the nepo bodies of the world that just inherited incredible genes and do have an insane metabolism. To love my body more was A, to develop a relationship with fitness and physical activity that I enjoy. So for example, right now it's climbing, and it has been such a quiet, small nightmare not being able to be physically active while on rest after this little sprained ankle. And this is a sprained ankle, guys. This is not broken. This is not a serious injury. She looks messy, but it's actually very lucky what had happened. And if I was unable to walk, I would throw the worst fit, because being outside and moving my body and getting my heart rate up and sweating is an integral part to my happiness and well-being. How else did I stop hating my body? I had to understand that healthy food not only made me feel good physically, but made me feel good mentally, and that more processed, more junky food, though I love and will always love, unfortunately, does make me feel bad both physically and mentally, and not mentally in the sense of I'm upset with myself for eating it, but I mean literally messes with my energy levels and messes with making me feel more depressed or more anxious. So it's not just the conscious thoughts, it's there's symptoms that happen very similar to the hangovers that I have now after drinking, where it's anxiety, but it's not anxiety about anything that I know I did, where it's, I know that I wasn't embarrassing or making a fool of myself last night, just the depletion or like the hangover is causing me anxiety. Like it's not based in, it's not situational. Like it feels chemical. My food to me is a splurge, the way that shopping is for clothes or accessories or a new bag. There's this sort of bougie farmer's market that I've been going to for the last 3 weeks, and it is pricey. You know, I'm getting little fish salad, that's $20, and I'm spending probably $100 or so a week at this market. But to me, it gets me excited to eat vegetables. It gets me excited to cook and make something really good for me that tastes delicious and also feels really good. And because it makes me feel good and I enjoy it, it's been sustainable. Whereas, you know, if you're like, I want to lose weight, I want to be skinny, so I need to meal prep and have the chicken and the rice and the broccoli, that would never be sustainable for me for so many reasons. One, I don't like that meal. But what works for me is having a fridge full of fresh items that I'm really excited to chop, cut, saute, make a salad, make a stir fry, make a fish in a roasted pan of vegetables. That has been sustainable for me. This is a topic that I could go on and on and on about, because there's so many angles that body image touches, where it's very closely related to your self-worth. It's closely related to the media that you're consuming. It's very closely related to the food that you eat and the movements that you make. It's closely related to the family relationships that you grew up with and how that shaped your concept of self-esteem in relation to your physical appearance. So there's a lot that I could say about it, but that's what I'll say for today. Oh, I love this. Jess Morford said, not a question, but you inspired me to try rock climbing, and I love it. Vital Rooftop at sunset is everything. I love that. I love that. If you're in New York City, if you're near Williamsburg, there's a climbing gym called Vital. It's the nicest climbing gym I've ever seen. And not only can you climb in the gym, but the gym has a rooftop and you can climb outside on the roof overlooking the Manhattan skyline. It's beautiful. It's fun. There's a sauna. There's a cafe. They have all these other classes. There's spin classes, yoga classes, silk aerial classes. They have a full gym. It's amazing. I'm glad that you enjoyed it. Can't wait to be back there once I'm healed. I will say though, I spooked myself. I was definitely doing something probably a little out of my skill set, and I'm gonna play it pretty safe for a while once I get back. Oh, I relate to this one. Millie Mullins asked how to deal with an all-consuming need for academic validation. I love the feeling of achievement. I love the feeling of accomplishment. I get a high from it. I like the praise I get for it. I like the attention that I get for it. I lean much more towards achievement-based validation as opposed to attention from pain or suffering, which is neither here nor there. I just relate to that one more. Whereas, you know, having all these people be so nice about my ankle, I'm like, oh God, like, stop. I literally didn't post it on my story just because I didn't want any messages being like, feel better, because for some reason that I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's literally a sprained ankle, guys. Chill out. You don't need to say anything. And that is an irrational reaction. But I love achievement-based validation. So understanding that that is something that you crave, that is something that you look for, is step one. Awareness is always step one. Acknowledgement. This also would make sense if it's been perpetuated. You know, you received academic validation at an early age, so you want to maintain that. You want to keep that up. Maybe you have a reputation of being the best student in your class, the best student in your home. You're the smartest one in your family. You're the smartest one in X group, and you want to maintain that. But I do think that you need to decide whether that is worth sacrificing enjoyment in other areas of your life. And if it is, by all means, go for it, because school does not last forever and eventually you will be graduated from it, whether you go all the way up, but at some point it will come to an end and you will need to find a way to seek validation or fulfill or fill that void in other ways. So you can decide that now or later. But I think even getting to the point where you're asking the question, like, how do I deal with this all-consuming need, is realizing how important is this need actually to me? Do I have other needs that are not being met? Have I neglected other aspects of my life out of this need taking priority? If so, is there one that I would rather allow get some attention, or should we just run this until we can't anymore? Bella wants to know, when's the prettiest you've felt in recent memory? I was in New York for the month of May. I felt really pretty there. I felt so pretty. I feel pretty right now, but I feel really pretty when I'm in New York for some reason. Something about it checks out. Something about it aligns. Lori Angel asked, how can I get over the feeling like my boyfriend would want someone better or prettier? I think that would upset me if I was your partner. So like, how shallow do you think I am that I don't want you for you? I would rather leave you for someone prettier, someone better, as if it boils down to just that. There's so much about partnership and companionship and love that goes so far beyond conventional looks. And who's to say that you're not exactly the person he wants, you know, that you are that for him, that you are the prettiest girl. This definitely sounds like it's coming from a place of self-worth and potentially a projection. Of course, if he's hinted at anything like this in the past, that's not very nice of him and sounds pretty shallow, but if that's not coming from him, I think I'd give him a bit more credit. You know, and also trust your taste in partners. You know, you want to pick someone who's a good fit for you, that wouldn't just ditch you out for someone prettier, someone quote unquote better. But says, PS, love you. Love you too. I hope that helped. I hope the tough love wasn't too tough. Cinnamon Juice said, how to be seductive. You are literally such a feminine energy to me. Interesting. I don't know if that's because I was a tomboy growing up, that I don't think of myself as super feminine, even though I get more and more feminine every single year. I think a lot of seduction comes from being playful. I think a lot of seduction comes from, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a word that's something along the lines of intimate. What my brain is thinking right now, and maybe the word will come to me, is I'm imagining two people at a party, but they're communicating sort of intensely just with each other, whether it's just communicating with their eyes, you know, maybe they're standing on opposite sides of the room, but they're having a conversation that no one else knows about. Sort of this intimacy, this moment just between you and them. That's very seductive. We're giving someone your full attention, where it feels intense, but it's also quite light at the same time and a bit silly. There has to be words. I hate when I have a thought and I don't know the word to describe it. But it's almost like you're sharing a secret moment and that feels seductive. Like you're sharing a moment that only you two have. Eye contact is seductive. You know what I don't feel is seductive? I don't think laughter is seductive. I think laughter is a great way to break the tension. And I think laughter is also a beautiful thing, but I don't know if it would fall under the category of seductive. Because when I think of seduction, I think of a smile, more of a smirk. I think of eye contact, but I don't think of giggling or laughter. That feels more flirtatious, but not necessarily seductive. How to be seductive? Intensity, playing with intensity and also playing with lightness, and having the person know that your attention is on them. It's a little tense. It's a little hot. Next question, Mady Armstrong. What color should I do my nails? Well, my nails right now are chrome. I have chrome toes and it's really fun. Another fun color for the summer, teal. My friends and I say that someone with teal toes, they're in a good spot in their life. No one going through something gets teal toes. The girl that gets teal toes, the person that gets teal toes is like, let's switch it up. Let's get teal. Let's get turquoise today. Like, they're having fun. Mari Gua asked how to make friends in LA. LA is a tricky place to make friends. I think coworkers are a really good start. There's so many fun and interesting people in this city that no matter where you work, if it's related to an interest or if it's just a separate transitional job, they're gonna be cool, fun people working there. So many of my friends have met cool people at work, and I think that's a good place to start. The LA social scene is very insular. It's a lot more intimate than other cities because there's only a few spots that people go out to. So oftentimes, if you are out somewhere, you might end up at a house or you're riding in someone's car, and that's a lot more intimate than hopping in a taxi with someone in New York, going to bar or just walking around. That's not as intimate than going to someone's house. Also the internet. I've made tons of friends off of TikTok and Instagram. Did someone ask me this before? Fia Leanne asked for my thoughts on salted butter. I love salted butter. I only want salted butter. If I'm making a recipe and it calls for unsalted butter, I do not care. I'm using salted butter. If the butter is not salted, honestly, I don't want it. Also, you guys, warning, Kerrygold has a recall out. Apparently, there's forever chemicals in the foil. It's the Irish butter, and apparently, it's not actually pure Irish butter. So be careful. I don't want any of you guys getting sick from that. Stop eating that. There's better butters. The best butter I have ever had in my life comes in a gold foil, just like Kerrygold, but it's French, and it's, I do not know how to say it, so I'm going to spell it, write it down. Look for this butter. It's sometimes in specialty stores. It's sometimes in coffee shops. You can find it. You can find it. It's not that hard to find, and it is so good. Okay. B-E-U-R-R-E, day. So we have the first word, space, D-E, space, B-A-R-A-T-T-E. Code Lexi20. I'm just kidding. But it's such good butter. It's such good butter. I've had a lot of butter in my life, and that is the best one. Oh my God, let it sit out, get a little soft. Put it on a baguette. I mean, there's nothing better. Yeah. Who needs Kerrygold when you have Bia de Bleu? It's butter made in Normandy, apparently from very fresh, content French cows. And that's all that. I love this question. Neom Edwards asked how to get out of my grandma era. I would argue that I'm in my grandma era as well. And I know that it's getting to the time where I need to transition out of it. But I hit a point where I no longer was interested in going out at night. I wanted to wake up early, spend my mornings out, up, use all my energy during the day, and then have an early night. And then I got in such a routine of that that I liked it. But because I wasn't going out at night, I was socializing less. Using the term in my grandma era, I would have called it my more peaceful era. It's been really nice. I feel in a really good spot with myself, with my health, with my sleep, with my productivity. But I'm not very in touch with my youth right now, I will be honest with that. I mean, at the beginning of this episode, I'm like, oh God, I miss my childlike wonder and my whimsy and my imagination. I'm not tapped into that at all right now. I should though, and maybe I'm being hard on myself, because as I said, I'm pretty good at romanticizing a very normal activity. With my little injury, I still make my time, put myself out on the deck in a cute little bikini, and I give myself little activities. I was doing the Ikigai. Have you guys seen that? It's the Japanese quadruple Venn diagram where you overlap and write down what you love, what you're good at, what you can be paid for, and what the world needs. And the one that fits in the middle is your purpose. So I was doing that. I was reading on the deck yesterday. I'll still find boring ways to excite myself, but you know, I'm not having a hot girl summer yet. Even at Coachella, I didn't have a lick of alcohol. So this grandma era has been going on for quite some time. It began, honestly, with my roommate drinking less. And when she was drinking less, I felt less inclined. You know, sometimes we would have a little glass of wine on the deck, or we'd go out and get drinks, and then we just stopped doing that because she wasn't doing it, and I realized I didn't really care about it. And then whenever I would drink, I would feel horrible the next day or the day after, where I would just be anxious, and I didn't like that. So once I got out of the system with alcohol, which I think I've been teasing sort of this sober curiosity, which I don't think I'll ever be sober, for quite some time, and the longer I go without alcohol, really, like, the less that I care about it. But alcohol leads to parties, and parties lead to fun and being in tune with your youth, and I have not been doing that. So how to get out of your grandma era? You gotta go out one night. You gotta have a night out. Oh wow, Justin asked questions that I've already answered. How to create a vibe, more ways to romanticize life, how to get excited about anything. I hope I gave you some answers to that. It is a lesson that I want us all to learn. If that's a lesson I could teach you, I would be delighted. If you're like, oh, this girl, I listen to her podcast, she's really great at creating a vibe. She really knows how to romanticize her life, and it's cool. It makes me want to do the same. That would be a high regard. I may not be able to teach you highbrow things yet, but my God, I hope I can teach you how to enjoy your life. So on that note, I will let you go. Unless you're a Patreon listener, then you can hear about how I was conned thousands of dollars with my friend and the details of that crazy story. Oh, it gets my blood boiling even thinking about it. So I'll get into that now. But other than that, I will talk to you guys later. XOXO, Lexi.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.